Jacob. So, David, you get your team ready? These guys learning. These guys are playing good volleyball. So we'll have to see if we can get some of us older folks. James, the Epistle of James. Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do thank you for your words. I do pray you'd help us focus on your words. Thank you for a time of fellowship and a time of food and fun and goofing off, just having a good time together. And I do pray you'd help us focus on your words. Help us to give help me to give an honest and good preview of this letter. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, if you look at the title of the letter, you're introduced to a new idea. The General Epistle of James. So that's a new idea being introduced in the Bible. You'll see that 1 Peter does the same. Okay, and let me check 2 Peter, General of Peter. Okay, and then 1 John, General of John. 1st, 2nd, James, 1st, 2nd, Peter, 1st John. So we're now introduced to some general epistles, okay? And that means it's generally aimed at who? Okay, if you would, hold your finger here in James and go to Galatians chapter 2. So the Bible gives us these answers. Galatians chapter 2. Okay, we know from reading Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, so forth, so on, that the epistle to the Gentiles or uncircumcision is Paul. Hello. Hello. Okay, and so Galatians chapter 2, verse 7, "For contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, Paul, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, same mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas," that's another name for Peter, "and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen," Gentiles, strangers, uncircumcised, "and they unto the circumcision," Jews. So when you get after Hebrews, James, Cephas, or Peter, or John, who's he generally talking to? Jewish people. Okay, that doesn't mean that we can't get some things out of it. Generally, that's who he's talking to, just as Hebrews was written to Jewish people. See how easy that is? And the scholars missed that. Okay, so Paul is the apostle to the uncircumcision. Peter is apostle to the circumcision. Remember that Jesus' ministry was primarily Jewish, then secondarily Gentiles. Paul's did a switcheroo-zy. The Judeo-Christian ethics are the ethics that are similar or common between the two different faiths. Okay, the unique differences between them shows the differences, the uniqueness of it. God revealed to Moses the religion of Judaism on Mount Sinai. And then God revealed to Paul the doctrines for the church, for the bride of Christ. It seems to be on Mount Sinai also, according to Galatians 1:17. So I just want to give you a preview of this letter. Okay, who's the author? The Epistle of James. Okay, what James? Okay, many of them will say James, the brother of Jesus. Okay, but here you got the big three, not Ford, Chrysler, and Dodge, or Chrysler, Chevy. Okay, the big three, Peter, James, and John. So John wrote three epistles, one gospel, and Revelation. And Peter has his two, so James is left out. These three men were on a Mount of Transfiguration. So, and then it says a servant. Okay, when you see that, that is a designation, a doctrinal designation for Moses and Israel. The servant, because God chose them to be a servant. So many scholars think the author is James, brother of Jesus. I would say it's the apostle Peter, James, and John. Okay, because he was told directly to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It don't really matter either way, but if it's James, the son of Zebedee, he was martyred in Acts 12. So when he's martyred in Acts 12, obviously he had to write it before his martyrdom, unless somebody, you know, talked to him afterwards. You're like Hillary talking to Eleanor Roosevelt. Okay, he obviously wrote it before Acts 12. So when he writes it before Acts 12, and we understand the book of Acts, that means the revelations of Paul have not been totally revealed to the church. So the writer wasn't given the revelations that were officially declared in Acts 15. This is why James writes this way. Officially, the Jews have not been blinded nationally or internationally yet in Acts 12. They got blinded in Jerusalem in Acts 7, in Judea in Acts 11, in the whole entire region of that area in Acts 18, and internationally in Acts 28. So James is the author, and he's writing to, we ask ourselves two questions when you read the Bible, who's writing and to whom is he writing? So James, a servant of God, okay, a servant of God. You take that back to Israel being called the servants of God because they were chosen as people to follow a service. Okay, who's he writing to? James, the servant of God of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes. Okay, so Native Americans. Okay, so the 12 tribes, which are scattered. Okay, Native Americans, I guess they're scattered, but not like the Jews. Okay, so who are the recipients? If that means what it says, 12 tribes in the Bible, the only one that had 12 tribes was Israel. So you go to Revelation 7 and 14, you see the 12 tribes that are listed for the New Testament. Ephraim is out, Dan is out. Okay, the Catholics will be very closely associated to Danites because they were the first tribe that went into apostasy. They were right next to Zidon. Zidon is where Ahab and Jezebel came from, and they had a religion that had vestries and vestments, and they called their priests fathers. So that's the Danites. Ephraim was taken out, and the Mormons claimed to come from the Ephraimites. When somebody messed with the Bible, God messed with their brain. Can you imagine the Mormons choosing one tribe that's not mentioned in the New Testament? I mean, what are the odds of them picking the one tribe out of 12 that's not the one that's mentioned in the New Testament? But even at that, so the 12 tribes, who are they? Okay, now, these are 12 tribes of Israel. That's what I'm saying because that's what it says here. Now, let's go to our commentators. Okay, if you do want to get a commentator. And Scofield, if you have a Scofield Reference Bible, I don't know if he says it in the introduction, but he said the 12 tribes scattered abroad are to understand, we are to understand, not Jews. Oh, thank you, CI. But Christian Jews of the dispersion. Okay, so he's saying the recipients of this letter are Christian Jews. Okay, that's a preconceived idea. John Wesley taught they were converted Israelites. The Geneva Bible, in a footnote, says they're believing Jews. John Darby said they're Christian Jews. Matthew Henry said they're Jewish Christians. The Pulpit Commentary, which is a large commentary to some passersby, said it's Jewish Christians, and John Gill said it's believing Jews. Okay, so there's seven of them that are in agreement there. Okay, and James, the servant of God, to the 12 tribes. Okay, if that's true, a lot of times when people see that, they'll have a preconceived idea, they'll read the letter, they'll say, okay, I understand, maybe it is Christian Jews. But the word Christian's not here, but that's a non-issue. But the idea is that this is written to Jewish people, and they could be righteous or unrighteous. How do I know that? Chapter 1, verse 19. So that's where we take the commentators and put them in the potato bin and just throw it out. James 1:19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. That person is not saved. Whoever is reading that, as James is directed to somebody, he said, if you receive the word, your soul can be saved. So the recipients are not believing Jews. Not all of them. They're Jews, but some of them are not believing Jews. If we take that verse to mean what it says in verse chapter 1, verse 21. Chapter 5, verse 4. Again, here are the recipients of this letter. And these would be rich Jews. Verse 1, go to now ye rich men. Oh, surprise, surprise, they're rich, huh? Okay, now this is where some people in America understand that when immigration really began in America, big time in modern day, was after World War I, Jewish people migrated over, tried to get out of Germany. They could not speak English very well, and so they used the movie industry, which many of them owned, and they had silent films. Okay, and then eventually they learned language, and then they got all the movies industries, and many of these large movie industries were owned by Jews, and anybody knows that they're owned by Jewish people. Many of the famous actors were Jewish. They were born Jewish. They changed their name so it doesn't look like Jewish, like Michael Landon was Horowitz. And, of course, the three great heroes of the faith, Curly, Moe, and Larry, all Jews. Okay, now when people see that, then they'll overreact to become anti-Semites. Okay, so that's just apostate Jews. We know that. That's just in charge of the media industry. We understand that's apostate Jews. Okay, and that would be the rich Jews that this is directed at. Chapter 5, verse 1. Okay, so he reads down in verse 4. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields. Who? Somebody of the 12 tribes, which is of you, kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which are reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Another clue. That's Jew. Is that not Jew? Sabaoth. Chapter 5, verse 19. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death. It shall hide a multitude of sins. That's not a saved man. So even though these men had their opinion, and opinion is, you know, like armpits, and usually everybody's got two armpits and opinions, and they usually both stink. And so we just take that and consider it and then throw it out. Okay, now the recipients of this letter was associated with a religion. Chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. The word religion, religious, found seven times in the Bible, three of them right here in these two verses. Okay, and the other two are in Acts and two are in Galatians. Paul talks about the religion he grew up in, so that's Judaism. If any man among you seemeth to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father, is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, to keep himself unspotted from the world. Okay, pure religion is to visit fatherless and widows. Why does he mention those two groups of people? There's a reason if we understand the doctrine. Okay, so it's a religion that's associated with the Jewish law, verse 10. Whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. So it's a religion associated with the Jewish laws. Okay, and then verse 11 is the moral law that's mentioned. And in chapter 4, verse 11, same people. He says, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. So again, we got the idea, but notice, keep reading. Speaketh evil of the law, judgeth the law. But he that judgeth the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There's that special word, doer, 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 do it, do it, do it, do it. That's what the Jews know. That's what they have in mind. Doer of the law. Doer. Okay, and we'll jump on that idea. Chapter 1, verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Okay, and let's see if how many cross-references I got of the word doers. Only two. Okay, but there's a bunch back there in Deuteronomy. Okay, in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 11 to 14, Paul gives a New Testament translation of that passage in Romans 5, or in Romans 10. So Romans 10, 5 to 8. And when the Old Testament used the words do it three times, Paul overlooked do it and put faith in the last one. There were three groups of people that came to John the Baptist. There were publicans, the people in general, and the, you've got to have alliteration, police officers. Okay, so the soldiers, actually. Okay, all three of them came to John the Baptist and said, what shall we do? In Acts 2, those Jews, after Peter, the apostle of circumcision, gave a message about murdering their Messiah, what did they say in Acts 2:37? What shall we do? And Pete said, repent and be baptized. He said baptized. He didn't have that spirit of the Campbellites. Okay, repent and be baptized. So that idea of doing something is an Old Testament idea. That's because James is written to Jews. Who does he give as an example for justification? Chapter 2, verse 21 specifically. Was not Abraham our father? Is that not a clue? How did the scholars miss that? Because they have a preconceived idea. Who does he give as an example of justification? Abraham, the father of the Jews. Verse 21, verse 23. Who does he give an example for salvation for the Gentiles of this time? Rahab. Those are Old Testament examples of righteousness. Old Testament examples. So we're dealing with something that is still left over in God's Old Testament plans. So what's left over? Daniel 70 weeks. Remember, 69 weeks are done at Palm Sunday, and we still got this 1 week kind of hanging out here yet. And so Hebrews and James is picking up that week. God goes back to the Jews and starts dealing with them. What has happened to the Jews during this time period? Chapter 1, verse 1, at the end, the word scattered. Scattered. They're all over the place. Scattered. That was foretold by God in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 32. He told them twice, at least twice. He said, when you fall out of fellowship as a nation with me, I will scatter you among the heathen. I'm sending you everywhere. He said to the four corners of the earth. Okay, that's what he told him he's going to do. And that brings a whole another subject. Okay, Psalm 44, we'll read some of these. Psalm 44. So he's got them scattered. Psalm 44, doctrinally, is written to scattered Jews. Psalm 44, 11, thou hast given us like sheep appointed for meat and hast scattered us among the heathen. Okay, the first scattering was with Babylon, so they just went to Babylon. Then they went to Media-Persia, then Greece. Okay, but now they're all over the place, scattered throughout the world, and God said that's what's going to happen. He told him that. Psalm 60, verse 1. O God, thou hast cast us off. Thou hast scattered us. Thou hast been displeased. O turn thyself to us again. Let's try Ezekiel 36. Any prophecy teacher is going to go with what? Ezekiel 38, 39, right? Gog and Magog. Almost any of them are going to go there with Gog and Magog. What precedes Gog and Magog? Ezekiel 36, verse 17. I'd like to read several of these. Ezekiel 36, verse 17. Verse 16, he said, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, When the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their doings. Their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. Wherefore I poured my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the lamb and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it. And I scattered them among the heathen. And they were dispersed throughout the countries, plural. That's where they're at today. According to the way, according to their doings, I judged them. And when they entered unto the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name. That's right, they do. Some of the biggest owners of porn is our Jewish people. Jen and I flew into Zurich, Switzerland. Nico picked us up. We're traveling through an area, XXX. Nico said, this is a Jewish section. That's right. And it can get perverted of what they actually allow with children. Okay, and so they profaned my holy name when they said to them that these are the people of the Lord. That's right. These are the people of the Lord and are gone forth out of his land. But I had pity for mine holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you by their eyes. Okay, so they're scattered. Joel chapter 3 says they're scattered also, and they're going to auction off a little boy or a little girl for a bottle of wine and a guy for something else, okay, for a harlot, I think. So Joel writes about that. So they're scattered. They're scattered all around the world, just as the Bible predicted. And you know, at the same time, he's scattering somebody else, the Muslims. He's sending them all around the place. So all these people are going around. It's part of their religion where they can go into a foreign culture and get a fast, they don't have to blow themselves to get a fast trip into the heavens. They can leave their culture and go into a foreign culture. And that's another quick way for them to get into heaven. And why do they have to be dispersed abroad? It's because what is the mode of death sentence during the trib? It's beheading. What religion specializes in that? And so that's why they got to be scattered throughout the world also. And so and we're witnessing that. Boy, isn't it an exciting thing? We're witnessing that in our lifetime. So they're scattered, okay? And he tells them, if you can get to Petra, get to it. If you can get to Petra, now where's Petra? Petra is in the Bible referred to as Uz. And there was a fellow who lived in the land of Uz that got persecuted directly by Satan. And that's Job. And in James chapter 5, coincidentally, the example of persecution to encourage the Jews during the tribulation time period will be Mr. Job. James 5, verse 11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, and that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. And coincidentally, the Great Tribulation is 42 months. Coincidentally, Job has 42 chapters. And when there are coincidences. A coincidence is nothing more than God remaining anonymous. Okay, now the time period. Okay, chapter 5, verse 3, last two words, he gives us the time period. Last days. This will be the last days of Daniel's 70 weeks. So this will be the last days, that remainder of the 7 years that are still left over. It is a time period where a person cannot be rich and get away with it. Cannot. Impossible. Don't want to be. James 1, verse 9. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as a flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. And James writes that if you're rich, you're doomed. You know, I don't care. Why is that? Okay, Abraham was a very wealthy man, Genesis 13. Okay, fine and dandy, can be right with God. Church age, 1 Timothy chapter 6, a person who is rich in the church age, he is given some admonitions, but you can still be right with God. Cannot be right with God, whatever time period James is writing to. How do they get rich? Chapter 2, verse 5. They are in control of the court systems. Chapter 2, verse 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? Notice who gets the kingdom, the poor folks. But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats. That's the court system. Chapter 4, verse 13. Go to now ye that say, today or tomorrow will I go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Not in a trib, you're not going to do that. Unless you have connections, unless you got a number, unless you got a mark. Okay, chapter 5, how do they get rich? Chapter 5, 1 through 6. This is an ultimate condemnation on rich people. And if a person is rich, and if they read this passage and they want to be close or what right with God, if they think in their mindset they're going to dump everything they got. And if you're hanging around, tell them you'll be the recipient. Then you can use it for the Lord's work. Okay, chapter 5, verse 1. Go to now, you rich men, weep and howl, for your miseries shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered. So I guess they got gold and silver. They got rid of all their fiat currency, got rid of their cryptocurrency, got rid of everything. Who cares? We'll be at the judgment seat. Okay, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and ye shall eat your flesh as it were fire. That's a weird idea. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud. How did they get rich? Fraud. The entire banking industry operates by fraud. Every bit of it. Okay, and a person just knows that, and you just keep going on. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Okay, and verse 5, ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. So there's got to be a time period in history, if we read through our Bible, that it is bad to be wealthy. It's bad to have a bank account. It's bad to have insurance policy. It's bad to have anything within the system, per se, as we know it to be, the system. It would be a bad thing to do, and a person can't be right with God. And, of course, that time period will be the tribulation. Why? Because the only way you can have those things is you have either the mark, name, or number. They are three separate things. And the ones who are doomed to hell are the ones who have the mark and worship the beast. If they just have a number, maybe if it's forced upon them, that might be a different issue. Okay, but still the idea is you don't want to do that. And, man, just get saved and avoid the whole hassle. Just come to the Lord on that one. That's for sure. A good example of this is Psalm 15. Psalm 15 is a passage, a very short psalm, only 5 verses. And this psalm is one that I often use to show the difference between devotional teaching and doctrinal teaching. Psalm 15 is a good one. You can go either way on it. But when a person goes devotionally, as the commentators do, they have to be pretty loose with the words. You have to be able to stretch them. When you look at doctrine in the Bible, you want to be very precise with your words. Don't change anything. Okay, verse 1. Lord, who hath abided in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Okay, devotionally. Who's going to go to heaven? Verse 2. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness. Okay, who goes to heaven? The one who receives the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Okay, that's right. Am I right on good ground for us in this day? Yeah, good ground. And speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his neighbor or tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is condemned. Okay, so this righteous person doesn't honor vile people. But he honoreth them that fear the Lord, he that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not, he that putteth not out his money to usury. So he's not a hoarder. Nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. So we will not be moved from the gospel if we do that. Now that's devotional. Maybe okay, maybe not. But doctrinal. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell on thy holy hill? What tabernacle? Millennial tabernacle, Ezekiel 40:48. What holy hill? Bethlehem, where the Jewish temple will be. Who's going to go into the millennium? Verse 2. Faith and works. Tribulation. See, do it in verse 5. He that doeth. That's that Jewish mindset. Verse 5. He that putteth not out his money to usury. Usury is an old English word for interest. Usury, you use somebody else's money. Interest. Okay, do we have a show of hands? Who has a savings account? Insurance policy, KEO plan. Anything that gets any interest. Anybody got that? You're going to hell. According to that verse. Right? And since you're going to hell, just give it to me and I'll take care of it. No, it's aimed at somebody in the tribulation. If they want to go into the millennial time period, they better get poor and help out Jewish people. That's what James is written about. That's why the poor are rich in faith, poor and needy. And this is why pure religion is a visit of fatherless and widows. Why? There are going to be so much martyrdom. There are going to be widows and orphans everywhere. And people who have a pure religion will take care of that party, try to help them out, and will hit the judgment of the nations and will become sheep that goes into the millennium. That's what James is writing about. Worldwide persecution. What does he tell these people who have worldwide persecution? Chapter 1, verse 2, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. I can imagine a Jewish person that is getting ready to be persecuted by a bunch of Muslims, and he has absolute faith, and he said, we're going to kill you right here. So, well, praise the Lord. Praise Jehovah. I'm going to see the Lord Jesus. Get on with it. Come on, let's go. I'm out of here. And it would drive them nuts. That would be a testimony. Okay, but, you know, who's going to have ultimate faith like that? So he tells them that in chapter 1, verse 2 to 5. He mentions martyrdom about the widows and everything. And what else is going to happen in the tribulation time period? Elijah's showing up. So guess who shows up in James? Chapter 5, verse 17. But the Bible is a beautiful puzzle. And once you get the puzzle figured out, man, is it masterful. It's a masterful. And you always start with the edges of the puzzle and you work in. Okay, chapter 5, verse 7. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Guess what's going to happen in the trib? Same thing. Revelation chapter 11, verse 3 to 6, those two witnesses will be able to stop the rain. And what's going to happen at the end of the tribulation? Chapter 5 of James, verse 7, the second sentence. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Second coming, what's going to happen right then? Behold, the husband waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for until he received the early and latter rain. Rain is water that falls from the sky. And when you have a 3.5-year drought, they need a gully washer to get the thing going again for the millennial time period. So when we do understand rightly dividing the word of truth, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, that we please our Father in heaven, God. Because we take the Bible seriously, we don't add to, we don't subtract from, we find out who's doing the talking, to whom's he talking, we make sure we get the time period and put it in the right slot, in the right place, and God in heaven is saying, I like that. Good job. I appreciate that. And then we pray for his coming. And we stay faithful and continue in the faith until we see him face to face. That's what James doctrinally, if we look at it doctrinally, we can get a lot of practical things out of James, as you can any book. But doctrinally, a person better be rarely understanding that the general epistle of James is generally speaking to Jewish people, tribulation, as 1 Peter, 2 Peter, 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, Jude, and anybody knows Revelation. And so the Bible is just a masterful book. Okay, we'll stop there and let's pray. Lord, I do thank you for your words. I pray that you'd help us to be good students of your words, honest students, sincere students, and help us not to use dispensation to justify something, to try to let us get away with our way. Help us just to sincerely believe your words. In Jesus' name, amen.